Today on Hardwired.
Jesus is using an absurdity to make a point. In Jesus' mind, all worry is a waste of time. All worry is a waste of time, and all worry is futile. It's futile to worry. It doesn't ever solve anything. Nothing. And now some of you have already thought, well, if I don't worry about it, who's going to worry about it for me? Why would you want somebody else worrying? You're already messed up from worrying.
Welcome to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it at our website, hardwired.org. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up in today's edition of Hardwired.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, if we could step into Satan's war room and listen to his conversation with his demon armies, I believe we'd hear him bragging on his favorite, most effective weapon against Christians, the weapon of worry. He'd be encouraging them to attack God's children with worry over money, health, their job, their marriage, their kids, worry about tomorrow, and 100 other things. And this is why in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus mentions not to worry 4 times in one chapter. I believe today's message on not worrying is going to set many people free. I'm so excited to share part 2 of the message, Don't Worry About It. Let's get right to it.
Isn't our Lord Jesus Christ amazing? The way he dealt with all the things that matter to people, all the battles that we face, the Lord Jesus tackled most of them in just the masterful Sermon on the Mount. But here he spent a whole lot of time talking about worry. Now, why am I talking about this today? Well, in a world of pandemics and a nation adrift from God, we are a nation adrift from God. You know that. Added to a government that appears to have lost all sense and even sanity, many of God's people are being attacked by worry. And so worry attacks us. And this is why Jesus dedicated a very large portion of Sermon on the Mount to worry. Read chapter 6 of Matthew. The majority of it is about worry. There's only 3 chapters in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. More than half of 6 is dedicated to worry. Now, Jesus talked about it because he knew full well the danger of it and how easily you and I succumb to worry. Because worry is a learned response to the stresses of life. You weren't born a worrier. It's a learned response. You watch other people worry and how they wring their hands and worry about this, that, and the other. And you learn that, well, this is how you deal with the stresses of life. But it's not. Jesus said, I don't want you to worry. He said 4 times, don't worry. Do not worry. Do not worry about it. He talked about it in other places, not just Sermon on the Mount. In his parable of the sower, there were 4 people involved in the parable of the sower. Only one of them bore good fruit. The other 3 failed. And the 3rd one presented to us in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, who failed because he lost out over worry. It says, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out, listen to this, everybody, by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit, listen to this, no fruit is produced. Why? Because the worries of this life crowded out the growth of the kingdom of God in this man. He lost out because worry robbed him. Worry is a thief. Worry is backward faith. Faith says something good is going to happen. Worry says something bad is going to happen. Choke, pulled apart, distracted, preoccupied. That's how the devil wants us to live as believers. This is why Jesus launched into a beautiful message on how and why not to worry, why not to worry, and how to not worry. First thing he points out is the futility of worry. It's futile. Everybody say futile. Listen to what he said. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his height? A cubit was 18 inches. That's what a cubit is. So let me give you a little picture. Let's say somebody is 5'6". Here's a guy who is 5'6", but he wants to be 7 feet tall because he wants to play basketball and get up there with the top basketball players and win. So he wants to be 7 feet tall, but God didn't do that for him. He's 5'6". If you added one cubit to him, he'd be 7 feet, but he's 5'6". And let's say one day you see him sulking in a corner and you say, "What's the matter?" And he says, "I want to play basketball, but I'm only 5'6". And I'm worried I'll never grow taller. I'm worried I'll never grow taller. But I believe if I worry about it enough, I'm going to grow. You would say, "Dude, worrying about it isn't going to make you grow 1 inch, much less 1.5 feet. But what if he replied, "That's where you're wrong. Worry's going to get it done for me." You'd walk away from that guy going, "He needs help." Why? Because worrying isn't going to add 1 inch, not much less 18 inches to his height. Jesus is using an absurdity to make a point. In Jesus' mind, all worry is a waste of time. All worry is a waste of time, and all worry is futile. It's futile to worry. It doesn't ever solve anything. Nothing. And now some of you have already thought, "Well, if I don't worry about it, who's going to worry about it for me?" Why would you want somebody else worrying? You're already messed up from worrying. Worry won't move a mountain. Worry won't bring an answered prayer. Worry won't solve a problem. It won't heal your body. It won't calm your mind. It won't lead to spiritual growth. Worry is like the hamster on the hamster's wheel. He's running, but he's getting nowhere. He's giving all of his energy, and here goes the wheel, but he's not gaining 1 inch of distance. He's not getting anywhere, and that's worry. You won't get anywhere worrying. But here's where what it will do for you. Worry will give you loss of sleep, headaches, difficulty concentrating. Are you listening to me when I talk to you? What? What were you thinking about? Oh, I was just worried. You can't concentrate. Nausea. I'm reading the medical things worry does to you. Muscle tension. Exhaustion. You can literally exhaust yourself mentally and physically by running on the hamster's wheel of worry. It will wear you out. Why are you so tired? Man, I worried all day. Irritability. You ever been around a real worrier and you say next to nothing and they cut your head off? They're irritable. Why are they so irritable? Because they're constantly being torn apart by worry. Elevated levels of the stress hormone, cortisol, and difficulty making decisions. You can't make good decisions when you're all tied up and torn apart and distracted and choked by worry. So Jesus said, don't do it. And then he gives two main causes of worry. Here's the two fundamental main causes of worry. First, provision issues. The worry of not having enough. I'm not going to have enough. I am so afraid I'm not going to have enough. I'm worried sick that I'm just not going to have enough. Even though you have a heavenly Father, you're worried sick that you're not going to have enough. Second, Jesus said the future, what tomorrow may bring. So the two fundamental causes of worry are, I'm so worried I'm not going to have enough, and I'm so worried of what's going to happen tomorrow, what the future is going to bring. I'm afraid of the future. I'm worried about my future. So let's talk about these two causes of worry. First, worry over not having enough. Everybody say provision issues, because that's what it is. Now, when we talk about the providence of God, what do we mean when we say he's a providential God? He's the God of providence. What does that mean? Look at the first seven letters in that word. Provide. Provide. Provide us. So when you talk about the providence of God, you're talking about the God who provides. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. He provides for his own. He's providential. He's providential over his whole creation. He provides for his whole creation, not just you. So here's what Jesus said. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, nor about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now, when he said eat, drink, and wear, those are symbolic of all provision issues. We worry about, am I going to have a job? Am I going to make enough money? Can I pay the bills? Am I going to have what I need? And what about when I get old? Am I going to be okay when I get old? Who's going to take care of me when I get old? Where am I going to get the food and the shelter when I get old and can't work anymore? I'm worried about provision issues. Jesus said, don't do it. Provision issues can also include money, shelter, health care, transportation, and so on. Now listen to what Jesus said. He said, you know why you shouldn't worry about it? Because your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. He knows. He knows. Your heavenly Father knows. He's fully aware, fully cognizant of every need you and I have. He knows all about it. Nothing shocks him. When you tell him I need money, you're not informing him of something he does not know. You're simply bringing your need to him. And so Jesus, ever the teacher, as they're walking down, I just picture them walking down some path, some dirt road there somewhere in the middle, in Jerusalem or whatever, on the outskirts of a city. And they're walking along, they're out in the country. And Jesus says, okay, guys, let me tell you why you shouldn't worry. Birds don't worry and flowers don't worry. He said, listen to this. He said, look at the birds of the sky. Now they're walking along and they look up and they look at the birds of the sky. And Jesus says, let me tell you something about them. They don't sow. That means they don't have seed that they sow into the ground, and they don't reap. They don't reap a harvest because they don't have any seed to sow. They don't sow seed like farmers. They don't sow seed against their future needs. That's not what birds do. They eat what they've got for that day, and that's it. And Jesus said, and they don't have barns to store anything in. Now, farmers in Jesus' day, they would sow the seed, they would reap a harvest, they would take what they needed for their own household, and then they put the rest in a barn. It was like their savings account. And there in the savings account, they knew, we've got enough in the barn to last us through this bitter winter that's coming. And so the barn is full. If the barn was full, they were good. It's like, okay, I know I got enough money to make it, enough seed to make it, enough harvest to make it through really tough times. Jesus said, birds don't have that. They don't have any of that. Along with every other creature that God made, they live each and every day in dependence on the provision of God. And Jesus said, I want you, disciples of mine, to learn something from them, because I want you to know that though they don't have seed to sow, though they don't have a harvest to reap, though they don't have anything in a barn for the cold winter that is coming, they don't worry about it.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, hardwired.org. You'll find today's program, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's a growing list of great things to check out at the site. So hop on over and check it out, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. And be sure to tell your friends about the program. We know you're being blessed by it. I'm sure your friends will be as well. We're here to reach as many people for the Lord as we can. So getting the word out will help us on this mission. And that's what this program is all about. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
Why don't they worry about it? Because they've got a Heavenly Father that provides for them. I watch the birds every morning. I go out on my patio every morning with my Bible and my coffee. And did I say my coffee? And my Bible. And I go out there and I can see beyond my fence birds everywhere. And I notice, and even some geese. And I've noticed that they're walking along the ground every morning pecking at something that I can't see, but they're eating it. And what they're finding is seed that God, the providential God, the provider of all things, made sure was there so that they would have something to eat that day. God makes sure of it. I can't see it, but they're always pecking at the ground and coming back up, and they're eating, and they seem fat and happy to me. Because within a couple of hours, they're over resting, sleeping, taking life back and raise, right? So Jesus said, disciples of mine, followers of mine, I want you to look at the birds and I want you to learn. They don't worry. They don't get together in a little flock and say, what are we going to do if there's no seed tomorrow? I have two dogs at home, Katie and Harley. All you Harley riders say amen. Katie and Harley. And I feed them twice a day. We make sure they're fed twice a day. And what if they got together and had a dog conversation? Well, he fed us today. He did. But man, I'm worried about tomorrow. I'm so concerned that he's not going to come through tomorrow. He seems like a nice guy. And he pets me and throws the ball for me to catch it. But I'm just not so sure about him because he did it today doesn't mean he's going to do it tomorrow. Oh, what will we do if there's no food in the dog bowl tomorrow? God forbid we could actually starve and die. And what if they huddled into a corner and looked at me askance like, we're not so sure about you. How would that make me feel as an owner? You don't trust me to even feed you? I'm a terrible owner. And yet, God takes care of us one day and we're all worried about the next day. What if he doesn't come through tomorrow? I know he came through today, but I'm not so sure about him. And what if he doesn't make it? And what if I'm left alone? And what if I can't pay the bills? And what if this and that and the other? And we start worrying. Jesus said, don't worry. The birds don't worry. The flowers don't worry. Don't you worry. David wrote in the Psalms about the providence of God. He said he gives food to every living thing. Everything he gives food to. His faithful love endures forever. God gives food to every living thing. Psalms 147 verse 9, he provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens which cry. So listen to this, he feeds the cattle, he feeds the birds, he feeds the beasts, he takes care of them. And Jesus is saying if God provides for the birds of the sky and the rest of his creation, he will certainly take care of you. And then he says, aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? I love what God promised through the prophet Isaiah. He said, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. I have tattooed you on the palms of my hands. So everybody say with me, don't worry about provision. Just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put the kingdom of God first. Take care of you and God first, and God will take care. Jesus said, and all these things that lost people wake up and are worried about each and every day of every year of their life will be added to you as the side benefit of taking care of God. One thing I will say, those birds have to hustle in the morning. They don't sit in their nest and go, well, seed's going to drop on me from heaven. No, no. They believe that God provided, but they got to go get it. Amen? They got to go get it. So I'm just telling you, this you got to cooperate with God's provision. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek after you have asked and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. So after you ask, you got to put feet to your faith and get out there and knock until the provision God has already given to you is found by you. Now, then he said, don't worry about the future. Don't worry about tomorrow. So do not worry about tomorrow. The Bible warns against two wrong future perspectives. Let me give them to you quickly. First, don't arrogantly presume that certain things are going to be so tomorrow. Listen to what Proverbs say, Proverbs 27:1. Don't brag about tomorrow, since you don't know what the day will bring. You do not know. James put it this way, look here, you people who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to such and such a town, stay there a year, open up a profitable business, going to make some money. How do you know what is going to happen tomorrow? For the length of your lives is as uncertain as the morning fog. Now you see it, now you don't. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Otherwise, you're going to be bragging about your own plans, and such presumptuous self-confidence never pleases God. I knew a guy, he was older than me in the faith and chronologically. And I mean, it used to bug me, because with everything, he'd say, well, if the Lord wills. Well, I'll see you tomorrow. Well, I'll see you tomorrow if the Lord will, Lord willing. And it began to get to me. It was like, what's with the Lord willing with everything? Come on, quit with the Lord willing. Why do you say it with everything? Yeah, we'll see you tonight when you and your wife come over for dinner. Yeah, we'll see you then, Lord willing. Well, I'm going to go on a missions trip. I'll be back in a couple of weeks, Lord willing. And I used to think, man, he's going overboard with this. He must have picked this up somewhere, and I'm not going to pick it up from him. But then I realized he understood something that I would understand later in my own Christian walk. It literally is true. We'll do this or that, Lord willing. Are y'all aware of this? You with me? Lord willing. Lord willing, I'm going to have tomorrow. You know why you got up today? Lord was willing. You know why you're sitting here listening to me right now? The Lord was willing. You know why you're going to make it home today? If you do make it home today, the Lord was willing. And the Lord is in control of our life. And so it's a truism. It's not just a weird religious thing we say, but it's a truism. James said, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. So he's not telling us not to plan ahead, but we're also not to live our lives making presumptuous plans apart from God. So when I'm going to make a plan in my life, I pray about it and say, Lord, what about this? Do I do this, do that, go here, go there? Do I preach this, preach that? What are you telling me to say? And when I feel like I'm, okay, I've got God's mind on this, then I move on it. But planning presumptuously and proudly and arrogantly is not God's will. Now, the second wrong perspective regarding the future is to worry about it. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. In other words, tomorrow isn't here yet. Why worry about it? Say with me, tomorrow's not here yet. He said, you don't know what tomorrow brings. You do not know. Well, you think you know, but you don't know. Even the weather people, they get it wrong all the time. I mean, I wonder, they're the only people that can be constantly wrong and keep their job. Because I will look up the weather forecast, thunderstorms, you know, and lightning and rain and, you know, several inches of rain. And you're out there thinking, well, I canceled all my outside plans. And you're looking up and a few clouds come and go. And you go, they don't know what tomorrow brings. They don't even know what today brings. Right? And neither do you. So tomorrow isn't here yet. Why would you worry about it? You don't know what tomorrow brings. You and I have no idea what God may do between today and tomorrow that changes everything in our favor. He can change your life on a dime. You can go to bed thinking, well, tomorrow is going to be rough, and God can change it on a dime. You don't know what tomorrow brings. Every day is a surprise. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made, not your plans. Worrying about tomorrow causes you to carry 2 days at once. And God only meant for us to carry one. You're moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Amen. Corrie ten Boom said, worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. So Jesus says, take life one day at a time. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow isn't here yet. All we have is today, right now, this moment. Now I want to close with the greatest verse I know of for deliverance from worry. And let me just read it to you. Listen to this powerful verse. Here's your way out of worry. I guarantee you, this is Dr. Jesus's prescription for getting out of worry. This is it right here. How many of you are tired of worrying? Come on, let me show you how to get out of worry. This is it right here. It will work every time if you do it. Here he says, Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. Well, how do I not worry about anything? Pray about everything. Pray about everything.
Thanks for tuning in today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. You can also connect with us at our website, hardwired.org. It's no secret that our country has had some extreme challenges over the last year or two. People have been going through depression, isolation, emotional pains, disillusionment, and more, and are looking for something to grab a hold of for security. Well, the answer is not in something, it's someone, Jesus Christ. And that's what this program is all about. So here's how you can help us get this message out. Being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. And we believe that these messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, hardwired.org. 877-884-3111 or go to hardwired.org. Thank you for your very generous gifts. God bless, and thanks for listening to Hardwired.